The first reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 9 and is verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago. The boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us. A son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice, from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this.
The second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 57 to 80. The birth of John the Baptist. The time came for Elizabeth to have her baby, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard how wonderfully good the Lord had been to her, and they all rejoiced with her. When the baby was a week old, they came to circumcise him, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, his name is to be John." They said to her, "But you have no relatives with that name." Then they made signs to his father, asking him what name he would like the boy to have. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." How surprised they all were. At that moment, Zechariah was able to speak again, and he started praising God. The neighbours were all filled with fear, and the news about these things spread through all the hill country of Judea. Everyone who heard of it thought about it and asked, "What is this child going to be?" For it was plain that the Lord's power was upon him. Zechariah's prophecy. John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke God's message. "Let us praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to the help of his people and has set them free. He has provided for us a mighty saviour, a descendant of his servant David. He promised through his holy prophets long ago that he would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us. He said he would show mercy to our ancestors and remember his sacred covenant. With a solemn oath to our ancestor Abraham, he promised to rescue us from our enemies and allow us to serve him without fear, so that we might be holy and righteous before him all the days of our life. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go ahead of the Lord to prepare this road for him, to tell his people that they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. Our God is merciful and tender. He will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace." The child grew and developed in body and spirit. He lived in the desert until the day when he appeared publicly to the people of Israel.
Both for that reading. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we pray by your Spirit you will speak deeply to our hearts, inspire us and challenge us, reveal new truths about yourself, help us to respond to you and receive more of your Spirit that we might live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past few weeks, the retailers have been trying their best to help us all prepare for Christmas, preferably by shopping with them through their Christmas adverts. I've got to admit, I was a bit disappointed with the Christmas adverts this year. Were you? Yes. Yeah. But I wonder if they have had a bit of an impact on you. Do you know which retailer is tempting us with the magic of Christmas upgraded? I can't hear. No, not Lidl. Currys. Well done. Currys PC World. Magic of Christmas upgraded. You'll have to watch out for that now. Who's asking, what makes Christmas Christmas? Or what's your Christmas must-have? Marks and Spencer's. What about some gifts are more than just a gift? John Lewis. We all know that one. And who's encouraging us to get them something that says you get them? Boots. Well done. Now, I know the point of adverts is to try to get you to buy from their stores. But for me, this year, more than ever, seemed to have the message from every retailer that the answer to the perfect Christmas is to shop with them. That was until I saw an advert with the message, believe in love, believe in Christmas. Which company said that? Believe in love, believe in Christmas. It's a surprising one, isn't it? I didn't think you'd have seen the advert. Now, of course, I've got to like that advert, haven't I? Being the hedgehog lover that I am. But that was an advert by the Erste Bank. Yes. Ooh. And this advert really challenged me. It wasn't just the fact it had hedgehogs in, although when I saw it, I thought, well, I've got to use that. But the first thing I thought was, what's that got to do with a bank? And I couldn't work it out. And I spent a lot of time Googling it to try and discover what was behind that advert. Now, apparently, the bank had a campaign for a couple of years that speaks about living up to your potential and fighting against the odds that life may present you. And so after Believe in Love, Believe in Christmas, they have a strapline, Believe in Yourself. And that's their kind of motive. And their thinking is that you can do that better with a steady partner by your side, and that's where they come in as a bank. I thought that was quite interesting because I still wouldn't have got it without reading up on it. But they said they also liked the advert when they saw it because they felt it had a message of love and a message of Christmas, and that's why they chose it. Interesting, I thought. And as I reflected on their straplines, believe in love, believe in Christmas, it reminded me that so many people today don't believe in Christmas and made me ask, what is it that's stopping them? What's stopping people believing in Christmas? And it challenged me to think about those of us even here who do believe the Christmas message and actually think, do we live like people who believe in Christmas? And do people see us through the way we live that we believe in Christmas? So I'd like us to reflect on those questions as we consider the verses that we heard from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, talking about the birth of John the Baptist. As you may remember, a few verses before, Luke had told us of the occasion that Zechariah was in the temple when an angel appeared to him and told him his wife Elizabeth would have a son and he should be called John. Now, Zechariah had responded in disbelief, and the consequence of that was that he was unable to speak until God's promise had come true. So we picked up the story today when Elizabeth had had the baby, and we heard that the neighbours and the relatives expected the child to be named Zechariah after his father, as was the custom at the time. But Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. The neighbours, a bit confused, looked to Zechariah. And as soon as he also confirmed his name is John, Zechariah was able to speak again. He went on in the power of the Holy Spirit to praise God and to declare his word. There's so much happening through these events. We have to remember, this is right at the start of the New Testament. And there's been a gap of around 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. 400 years where seemingly God hadn't spoken. And yet, the people of Israel still believed that he was going to rescue them. And they held on to hope, knowing that God can be trusted. Now, admittedly, they were thinking politically as they lived under the oppression of the Romans. But they were also aware there was a spiritual dimension to God's promised rescue as well. Zechariah had been praying in the temple for this for years. And perhaps his experience in the temple that left him unable to speak had given him even more time to think, to reflect on the promises of God, to see his faithfulness in the past, and to trust in God for the future. And so as soon as he gets back his speech, he immediately praises God, not for the birth of his son, but for God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promises. He says in verse 70, God promised through his servants long ago that he would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us. He said he would show mercy to our ancestors and remember his sacred covenant. And then he went on to prophesy that his son John would prepare the way for the Saviour, to tell his people they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. It's perhaps difficult for us today to be able to grasp just how incredible these words are from Zechariah. Whilst he clearly delighted in God's blessing of a son, his focus is actually on the bigger picture and the fact that his son was going to play a part in God's great plan of salvation that he'd promised for so long. When we begin to get a glimpse of the significance of these words, then surely aren't we humbled by the way that Zechariah and the people of Israel had held on to hope and held on to the promises of God. Don't you find that actually it can be quite difficult at times to hold on to hope? And Christmas, in many ways, illuminates the sadness of the world in which we live and the difficulties that we face. You know, there are so many people that I know that hate Christmas. And that's not because they're mean and they don't want to buy presents. And it's not even because they don't believe the truth of the Christmas story. It's just because Christmas is such a painful time. Memories of Christmases past and expectations of what a perfect Christmas should really be like all shine a spotlight on the challenges we face every day. We struggle with ill health, the pain of losing loved ones, financial worries, relationship breakdowns. And so as people struggle, they struggle also to really believe in Christmas because they feel like they have no hope. They cannot see this pain or difficulty or challenge ever coming to an end. And rather than being a time of joy, actually they feel Christmas just seems to rub salt into their wounds. Even as Christians, we can respond in a similar way. We know the truth of Jesus. And yet sometimes we struggle to find God in the pain and the sadness. And we begin to lose hope in the fact that God will help us through every situation. That God will never leave us or abandon us. And more than ever, God still has the power to transform lives. Zechariah and the people of Israel hadn't heard from God in 400 years. But they knew deep down who God was. They knew what he was like. And they still held on to hope that he would do what he'd said. And Zechariah also knew that God works through the lives of individuals like him and like Elizabeth to bring about his bigger plan and purpose. So as we remember Zechariah this morning, he challenges me to consider, are we really holding on to hope and daring to believe that one day things will be different? Are we trusting God to meet us in the joys and the sadnesses, to know his peace and his comfort through the difficulties? And if so, are we letting others know the hope that can be theirs too? Zechariah also teaches us that following God is a lifelong journey. A journey where you never ever stop learning. It didn't matter he'd been a man of faith for the whole of his life. Zechariah still needed to grow in his knowledge and his relationship with God. For those of us who've heard and believed in Christmas for a number of years, it can be a little bit tempting at this time of year to feel like we know it all. It's a challenge for every preacher at Advent. What can I bring that's going to be different in this particular message? How can we see it in a new light? And it can be easy for us to reassure ourselves with the knowledge we have and rest on the laurels of all the ways that we serve God through church. But if we're wise, we'll learn from Zechariah and yearn to be people who still want to know Jesus better and more deeply and receive his counsel and guidance. Let's be honest, Zechariah was a pretty righteous man who served as a priest for the whole of his life. Yet even Zechariah failed to trust God at a critical moment. But this didn't make him fall into a pit of guilt. Rather, it spurred him on to want to know and trust God even more. He wanted to understand the truths of God's word and apply them to help him live as God wanted him to. He wanted his will to be aligned with God's will for him. And that began with the naming of his son. Now today it may not be our neighbours urging us to go a particular way or making a certain decision, but there are plenty of people around who want to tell us how they think we should be living. We need Jesus to be our light, to guide our steps into the path of peace. And however long we've believed in the truth of Christmas, don't we still need to know Jesus more and more? Not just for ourselves, but because also, like John, we can be people who prepare the road so that others know Jesus as well. Isaiah prophesied that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. A child is born who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Now that prophecy was first of all a message for the people of Israel. The Torah was their law, and that should reveal how they should live. But God knew that over and above the law, they needed a greater light. A light who would rescue them and help them to live for God. And that light would also shine out to the Gentiles so that they too might come to know the Lord. Without Jesus, we are all living in darkness. We're in the dark because we have no hope. We're in the dark because we do not know the love of God who created us. We're in the dark because we cannot save ourselves. People who walk in darkness are not necessarily bad people. They're just lost people. And they need light to direct their paths to Jesus. And so believing in Christmas shouldn't lead us to feel condemned. We shouldn't feel guilty for what we haven't known or what we haven't done. We should rejoice in the fact that God has come to set us free and show us how to live. And it should inspire us to want more of God in our lives and to want to align our will with his will for us. It should encourage us to learn to trust Jesus more and more, even when we're struggling to see the answers. And finally, Zechariah's prophecy, above all, reminds us all of the incredible love that God has for humankind. He begins his prophecy declaring praise to the Lord because, he says, he has come to the help of his people. He has come to the help of his people. Now, that word he used to say he's come was actually a military term, and it was used when a captain was going to visit his troops. The long-awaited Messiah was to be just this: God coming to earth to see things for himself firsthand. God's not a distant God. He wants to be involved in our lives, to come to his people. But God wasn't just entering the earth to observe. Verse 69, Zechariah says he's provided for us a mighty saviour. A mighty saviour. Zechariah knew the prophecy that a child would be born and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And he knew that this was the moment that that prophecy was about to come true. God had come to earth. He had come to save his people because he loved the world so much. Perhaps a story would help to reinforce the truth and reality of all that God did for us in his love. There was a Scottish farmer who did not believe the Christmas story. The idea that God would become a man for him was absolutely absurd. His wife, however, was a devout believer, and she raised their children in her faith. Sometimes the farmer would give his wife quite a hard time, mocking her faith and belief in the incarnation of God in the baby of Bethlehem. "It's all nonsense," he said. "Why would God lower himself to become a human like us? It's such a ridiculous story." One snowy Sunday evening, his wife took the children to church while the farmer relaxed at home. After they'd left, the weather deteriorated into a blinding snowstorm. Suddenly, he heard a loud thump against the window and then another thump. He ventured outside to see what was happening. There in the field was the strangest sight, a flock of geese. They'd been migrating south, but suddenly they'd become disorientated through the storm. They were stuck, stranded on his farm, unable to fly or see their way. The farmer's heart went out to them. He wanted to help them, and he realised his barn would give them shelter for the night. He went and opened the barn doors and stood back, hoping they'd make their way in. But the geese didn't realise it was shelter for them. So the farmer tried to shoo the geese in, and they just ran in all directions. Perplexed, he got some bread and made a trail to the barn door. Surely this would tempt them into the warmth of the barn. But no, the geese still didn't get it. Nothing he could do would get them into the warmth of the shelter. Eventually, feeling totally frustrated, he exclaimed, "Why don't they follow me? Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive the storm? How can I possibly get them to follow me?" He thought for a moment and realised that they wouldn't follow him because he was a human, and they wouldn't follow a human. Thinking out loud, he said, "How can I possibly save them? The only way would be for me to become a goose. If only I could become like one of them, then I could save them. They would follow me, and I would lead them to safety." At that moment, he stopped and realized what he said. The verse reverberated in his head, "If only I could be like one of them. If I could become one of them, I could save them." And at last, he understood God's heart towards humankind. He fell on his knees in the snow and he worshipped him. During this season of Advent, I encourage each one of you to take a moment alone with God, to know above everything else that you are loved by the living God. He came to save you because he loves you that much. And from that place, may you come afresh to believe in love and believe in Christmas, knowing the hope that God gives to every one of us, even in the worst of situations, and learning to trust him more. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your reminder in so many ways this morning that you love us so much that you gave your only Son that we might have life everlasting. Lord, I pray for each one of us, whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the thousandth time, remind us what it feels like to know the love of the living God, to know that peace and security and acceptance. Lord, for those of us that are facing challenges at this time of year and feeling like things are a bit of a struggle, help us to hold on to hope. Help us to trust you. And know that you won't leave us and you will see us through. Speak to us and reveal to us more of your plan for our lives. And help us too to be a light to show the way to others, that they might too know your love and the hope they find in you. In Jesus' name, amen.